Well, this teaching here on these things concerning which we are, our title has been Kingdom Authority. It's just things that God just keeps going over and over in me, things about this, in this area, the emphasis in these areas. One of the things especially, you know, we're fortunate from the standpoint over the years, I look at my life from a standpoint, has been blessed of the things I've been able to learn from the time that I came into the kingdom. Because we're living in a world today that much of Christianity is not prepared for the time. They're not ready for the days they're living in. Many people, because you can see it from the world and in the church. One track minds, they can only think on one thing at a time. I always think about this thing I said to Wanda about, you know, people talk about this multitasking. And I said, if anybody can't multitask, it's everybody, most people today. All their one track mind, they can only think on one thing. All they could think of was COVID. Now all they can think of is Ukraine. They have no way of thinking out beside. And you can't do that because what happens? You're going to live a defeated life. You can't live in joy and have a one-track mind. You know, we live in an earth and we know what Jesus said. In the world, there's tribulation. Now, if that's all he ever said, you know, all we do is walk around, oh my God, in this troubled place. You know, that's just some people are in Christianity. Many are in that place. We're living in bad days. You know, these are tough times. And they're going on. That's one track mind focus. You got to be able to see beyond it. You got to understand things beyond, because if you can't, you know, you'll end up a quitter. People committing suicide like crazy today. Suicide's killing more people than loads of diseases used to kill people. Suicide kills people. People dying, committing suicide all the time. And, they can't take what's going on. People can't take, they can't handle what's happening. And we're really living in a troubled time, and dealing with the areas of authority are so important, because especially with dealing the kingdom, but living in this world, if you don't know where you stand, if you don't know, and you're not sure of what you can do, can't do, things get really tough. And especially in Christianity, you need to know something. I was listening over to an older series that Kenneth Hagin had done. On writing your ticket with God. He did it down in Houston at, what's his name's church down in Houston. He did a series on writing your own ticket with God. He was got over in the areas and talking about God takes somebody's nobodies and makes them somebodies. And he went on to say things about it, concerning people being nobody. He said, the Christian's a somebody. The one who is born again, God made them a somebody. He said, if somebody's president of the United States and he said they're not a Christian, they're a nobody. See, we don't like to think about these things, and we need to understand the importance. And he went on to name a whole bunch of things that people, professions, people think are great. Christians today, generally speaking, don't understand their position of authority. They're always trying to rise to something in the natural. I have no sense of inferiority around anybody. I could stand before the President of the United States and I don't feel any sense of inferiority. You know, people talk about they go see the President, you know, maybe they get nervous. I think you ought to be nervous if I show up. Because I do know a lot more than he does. And I don't come to this President now of any of them have been. See, I don't feel inferior. The Lord spoke to me when I was a young Christian about the gift of God working in me. He said, you know, the big name ministers out here, he said, they don't have any gift better than yours. He told me that. There's no gift better than yours. See, we don't understand it. You can't live in a place of authority if you have inferiority. You won't live. It doesn't, you know, it's like Randall Greer would say this often. He said, it doesn't matter what you know, it's what you do with what you know. See, you can say, well, the Bible says this or the Bible says that. But what are you doing? What's the life that you're living? That's what matters. It's what you're doing with what you know. And so we can know about authority, but we need to see ourselves in the light of the authority and walk in that authority. Live in it. See, you can't live a life of faith without authority. It doesn't work. I am authorized. Humanity has been authorized by God to be saved. God's authorized him. He sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus did everything that needs to be done for a person to be saved. All they have to do is receive it. So if that's all they have, then they're authorized. They're authorized by God. Humanity, God gave man the authorization. God doesn't save man without them, their participation. They must receive it. He gives man. Man has the ability or the authorization to receive Christ. He can. He has that choice. And we need to know that with everything about God does is in that manner. See, I've been authorized by God as a born-again Christian to be healed. What I do about it isn't what God does about it. It's what I do about it. It's what I'm going to do. Am I going to live in my authorization or am I going to wait? People are waiting for God to heal them. Well, they're waiting for nothing. God has. I've been authorized to receive it. It's to my account. The Lord said this to me today. It does not matter what's in a person's account if they don't receive it. It matters not what's in it. It doesn't matter what this Bible says you have. If you don't receive it, it doesn't matter. It's like you'd go to a guy and he would talk about he has a gun to protect himself and do things. And then he comes along and tells you, a guy showed up at my house and he said he broke into our house to rob us. And you say to him, well, did you get your gun out? No, I didn't get the gun out. See, it didn't matter not if he had a gun. If he didn't get his gun out, it didn't matter. The robber don't care. He don't care how many guns you have in the safe in the house. He don't care. If you have none of them out and he's holding a gun, he got you. He don't care. And it's the devil. The devil don't care how much authority you have. He don't care he don't care about all the authority God gave you if you don't get it out. He don't care. And we're going to find out from the scripture says that today. The scripture says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much we have. It's what we do with what we have. It is deep seated within the Christian church. It is deep seated that God's in control. That is deep seated. Many Christians who say they don't believe that actually live like they believe that. They're waiting for God to do something. They're waiting for God to initiate. God already initiated Jesus Christ. He already initiated. Now anything beyond that point goes to us. It's just like salvation. Even though God initiated salvation, He sent Jesus. Jesus died for our sin. If a man doesn't initiate from his side, God, there's a God side and there's a man side. If a man does not respond to that salvation, see, the Bible says this, Mike used a scripture, good, great scripture. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. It didn't say God's going to bring you to the throne of grace. He didn't say God's going to bring the throne of grace to you. You got to go there. You have to go to the throne of grace. At the throne of grace, there's mercy there and there's grace to help in time of need, but it'll just stay there if you don't go. And you're going to have to go there and receive it. When you go there, you're going to have to act like you get something. Understand this about faith and authority. Our faith is about an unseen realm. If you're operating anything in the seen realm, you are not operating in faith. You have no faith about what you see. You can see it. What I can touch this chair. I don't have to have a lick of faith that this chair is here. I can touch it. I can see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is your evidence that what you don't see is real. How many of you've seen the throne of grace? You have seen it. You've been looked at. How many of you have ever seen the throne that Jesus sits on? How many of you have ever seen Jesus? You see, our faith is based on the unseen. How many of you have seen your healing before you have it? See, I can't see it in the natural, but by faith, it takes substance. I know it belongs to me. I know I have it. I know it's mine. I got it. I have it. See, many people, they're going to have it when they feel better. Well, I got healed. When? Well, when did you get healed? Well, yesterday I started feeling better. And so, no, that wasn't by faith then. You didn't get it by faith. You got it just like every sinner gets it. You know, your body starts recovering. See, it's dealing with it. See, dealing with authority is the same way. I don't see the throne of authority I'm sitting on with Jesus Christ. But I must live like I'm on that throne. I must live like I have the authority of that throne. I gotta live in that manner. Whether I see it or not. When I go to God and I pray, I gotta pray from the place of authority. What we do is we pray generally from the place of defeat or failure or whatever else, or the trouble or the problem. That's the place we pray from. That's not what we're supposed to. We're supposed to be seated, reigning and ruling in Christ. We pray to God. God lives in us. We're not praying to a God we're trying to get to. God already got to us. He moved in. We're communing with a God that's already inside of us. Say, do you see Him or feel Him? No, I don't have to. This is what faith is about. Faith is about what I do not see that I believe that is true because the Word of God has revealed it to me. See, that's why faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. Today, there's much in the church world, and there's much even preached by good ministers that are unscriptural. People believe certain things, but the Bible don't really say it. This is why it's so important to know what the Scripture says. People say things and people go along with things, but they don't know that if it's true. They have a belief that they get. You know, I believe it's this way or that way. Faith comes by hearing the Word. When you hear the Word, faith comes. Faith comes. But now understand, just because faith comes don't mean it's going to do a thing. You might have faith in your arsenal, but if you don't ever pull the trigger of faith, that just is there. You have faith, but it ain't going to produce anything. You know, the Apostle Paul was preaching, and a man, he said, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. He was a lame man. He perceived he had faith to be healed. In other words, this guy had faith to be healed. He wasn't healed. You're not going to get healed because you have faith to be healed. You're going to get healed because you pull the trigger of faith. You're going to do something with that faith. It wasn't until Paul did something to him. Paul said, stand on your feet. Paul got him to act on that faith. And it wasn't until he acted like he had something till it showed up. Till he acted like his faith was real. See, I don't give a rip what the doctor says. You know, see, this one thing is, I don't say much to doctor. If I go to a doctor, I don't say much to them about my faith thing because number one, 99 times out of 100, I'm not going to act in line of what he said. He's going to tell me, you know, you got to go home and you got to rest for 6 weeks and I'll be up in 2 days and running around. Why? That's my faith. And the people that have to follow the doctor say, oh, now the doctor, you ought to go sit down somewhere. You should rest because the doctor said. That's their God. The doctor said. The doctor said you can't do that. I said, well, I believe I'm healed. See, I believe I'm healed. I'm going to start acting like I got something. I'm not going to keep acting like I didn't get anything. You know, so there's one thing Wanda and I had discussed this about the fact of this. And she said one of the things that she said that really helped me, she said after my heart thing, she said, you wouldn't let me sit around. See, most people, they're like, well, the doctor said, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And I told her, you're going to have to, you know, if you're going to do the doctor said for 6 weeks, sit around, then don't play the faith game. Don't go and say in faith. And then don't be one of these people that when you're supposedly agreeing with somebody else, and they turn around and start acting like in faith, but you don't like it. You don't think they ought to be doing it. And then you get into your little thing about, you know, well, they shouldn't be doing that. Well, see, you already broke the agreement on faith. They're going to have a hard time because now you're supposed to be in agreement. This is one of the times I very seldom ever get anybody to do the things agreement with me. Agreement's a very tough thing. See, everybody says, well, if two agree and buy that, say that really good. I'll tell you what, I find that the average Christian and even spirit-filled Christian has a hard time standing in agreement with somebody. Because you need to be careful. If that person isn't on the level of faith with you, they'll start disagreeing with what you're doing. They'll start disagreeing. And even with husbands and wives, it's a tough thing. I've worked this with Wanda. There's areas that I will stand in faith. I won't say a thing for her about it. Because I know she'll have a difficult time at it. I know she'll have a difficult time. Because, you know, I can get a little crazy. I can do some weird stuff. I tell you, I can get out there in the years. And I understand that. And I don't say it. So I don't go try to get her to agree with me on it. Because what happens is you get agreement. That agreement breaks, then everything you're doing is done. That's why you be careful about who you. This is why the areas of authority are so important. Christians haven't understood these areas of authority. Do you imagine the authority you is if two agree is but touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven? I mean, I'm going to tell you what, that is a wild, crazy saying. This is one thing we know. In the church world, that thing is hardly ever used because hardly ever can two people reach out that far to do just about anything. People are very limited in the church world and won't admit it today. Even these big name ministers are very limited in their faith but will not say it. I'll say it. Kenneth Hagin prophesied this in 1987. I read it two Sundays ago. Where the Spirit of God said concerning the last days, He said if two or three will agree on earth, He said, in any nation, no matter what government, no matter, He went on to say, another, if they would agree. In other words, He would bring revival to that nation if they could agree. This is one thing, as I know today, there's very little faith in the earth in these areas. Now, you know what? Until we admit it, we can't change it. So we quit playing these so-called faith games. We have to quit playing them. And stop and say, hey, hold it. I've been, this is one thing, I've been looking at my faith. How far can I reach out there? Can we get a couple of people that can believe God beyond, you know, Newsmax and Fox? And can we get people to reach out beyond there? Can we get people to reach out beyond what some big name says? Or can we get people to stop and say, hold it, God said. It don't matter the government. That's hard for the church. Get past the government. But see, if we don't admit it, hold it. God set something in our hand. I'm going to tell you what. The church has a place of authority and power that is greater than any nuclear weapon that's ever been developed on the face of the earth. Its power to change the world is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. What God has said. But you know what? We can't arrive to that point. You know, God wants to take us there. God has not held back. God has not held back. But believers have held back in their believing. You know, we think mentally ascending that things are true in Scripture means I'm believing something. That somehow I've arisen to some place. Because we go through ritualistic things and say, yes, let's just agree on this. And, you know, we do it so easily. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. It's funny, kind of thinking, I was listening to teaching some time ago about him teaching on that subject of agreement. He said, most agreement doesn't work because two people just get together and say about agree. He said, yeah, I agree with you on that. He said, that isn't what the Bible says to do. He said, on anything they ask. He said, did you ask for anything? Or just say you agreed. You never ask. See, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock and it shall be open. See, people make and voice things. We have a lot of things that we have never even really operated in line with what the Word says to do. We have our own mind to think that we're doing it. But we're not. We've never done it. We've never stopped and specifically prayed and asked God for a certain thing, said we believe we received that. We just said, well, I agree with that. But that isn't what the Scripture says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. What does the Word say? Well, then operating in line with the Word. You see, it's so easy to go along. It's very easy to develop religious beliefs. And they have some fact to them. They have some truth that's built into it. But it's not the whole truth. Hallelujah. So if you've ever noticed, I've gone along in my Christian way, and sometime I've been embarrassed to find out that, you know, my God, you know, that had a lot more to it than I thought. But you don't pay attention to certain things and certain detail. But we need to understand, last week we talked about this fact, is getting a picture of ourselves. We used from Ephesians 2, we did verses 1 through 7, but I'm not going to read through them. But we talked about the fact there, it says that we were made us alive together. We've been made alive together with Christ. In other words, we have the same life that Jesus Christ has. We have it. We're not going to get it. It's not something sometime. The life of God, you have it. Get that into your mind and into your thought, that that's the life that is working in you. Now, we know when dealing concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, in Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 11 says, you know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. It's quickening or making us alive, our mortal bodies. Now, what is that life that's working in through the Holy Spirit? That's the life of God. That's God life. That's God life. Healing, divine healing is God life working in an individual. That's what it is. You know, we put today, and this is one of the problems that really is a problem in the areas of healing, because we equate doctors in the same manner of healing as God heals. No doctor ever heals by divine life. Now, he could, if he's a Christian, he could pray and believe. In fact, I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about this one doctor. People would come to him, and he would do this. He'd say, now, if you want, and you want to believe God, he said, I'll pray for you. It won't cost you a nickel. You'll get healed. But he said, if I have to treat you, you're going to pay. And I said, today they just all pay. But he said he used to do that. And he said, this doctor used to get a lot of people healed, though. He said, they'd go and he'd pray with them and they'd get healed. But he'd ask them which way they wanted to do it. See, we equate healing. See, this is why we have to change. We have to see who we are, what we really are. See ourselves as a spiritual being instead of a physical being. We have to understand what is actually working in us, the life that's working in us, the same life that works in Jesus. It's inside of you and me. Just think about that. God's life is inside of us. God's life is inside of you and me, working in us. It's in us. That life, Mike talked this morning about that grace. That's what grace is. It's God working in you. It's His abilities. His life given to you. You've been born of that life. And then God put the Holy Spirit moved in. I mean, it's, man, what we got in us, what we are. We're one, when the Bible talks about one with God, we're one with God, that the Spirit of God can actually live in our own spirits, can be joined together as one with our spirit. See, that's why when people get the thoughts and things, they're praying and asking God to be with me. And God, I mean, that's insanity as a Christian praying like that. That's totally diabolically against the truth of the Bible. How can I pray for God to be with me? Dear Lord, can He get any closer than I'm one with Him? And He's united in one with my spirit. That life is in me. And I'm saying, you know, God be with me. See, getting those thoughts, they're contrary to the word of God. Our idea is God's out there somewhere. He's somewhere wandering around someplace, or He's out in heaven. He's just somewhere. We're trying to get Him close to us. Well, see, you can't walk and live in authority in a thought like that. You know, you'll never stand up against the devil when you think God's someplace else. You know, when I'm standing up against the devil, it's me and God standing against the devil. It ain't me standing against the devil trying to get God to do something. Bible tells us we have the authority to cast out devils. We have been given that authority. That authority is already ours as Christians. When you dealing with the devil, God is already behind it. What is behind it? Or is it just you? Now, I'll tell you what. Now, that'd be a whole different thing. It's just you. You know? That's why we got to get our thinking and dealing with our areas of authority. We have the same life. It told us what we were raised up together with Him. In other words, you're raised. The same resurrection that raised Jesus. Understand it. When Jesus died, He died with your sin. He died resurrection. He was resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life. He died with our sin. He died like a sinner. When He was raised, the Bible tells us we were raised together with Him. You have already been raised with resurrection life. This is God life, raised you up. You have been raised. That's why, you know, the one day, you know, we're all going to get a new body. That ain't no big deal that that's going to happen. You already got resurrection in you. And you got the resurrected, the Holy Ghost. The God's Bible says that the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. And He ain't going to come down from heaven. Jesus ain't going to come down from heaven and raise you from the dead and bodies out of graves. He ain't doing that. When He comes back, the Holy Ghost is going to the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise that body. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the same. And you and I are walking around with that resurrection power in it. What do you think heals people? Why would we say cast out devils, lay hands on the sick? What would it tell us to do that? How could you drink any deadly thing and it not harm you? See, today we're just, you know, we got all the, you know, eating all the right food and all this kind of stuff. Because we don't believe in resurrection in us. We got to watch everything. Be careful. Be careful. You never know. God can't keep us well. We have to keep us well. A resurrection in us ain't big enough. You know, it ain't quiet. See, how can sickness and disease stand against that resurrection? See, we have to change the way we think. We're trying to believe, but have never changed the way we think. So we've got to change the way we think. I have the authority to be well. Why? By the Holy Spirit in me. He is just waiting for me to act like what the Bible says is true. He can't wait to do it. He can't wait to bring it to pass. He can't wait to make it happen. That power is in there. Hallelujah. See, we talk about the grace. That's grace at work. Grace is power. Grace is power, man. I'm going to tell you what. It's God's power that's working. It ain't something we're trying to get. It's something we got in us. Hallelujah. The grace of God. See, we need knowledge of these things. Hallelujah. We're made to sit together. Our authority is founded in the throne of Jesus Christ Himself. And He said all authority in heaven and earth is His. All authority. He didn't say some. He didn't say, God the Father gave me some of His authority. He didn't say that. He said, all of authority in heaven and in earth is mine. I got it. And then, that same Jesus put the Holy Ghost in us. And the whole job of the Holy Ghost is in you for the purpose to reveal your authority and that power that works on your behalf. That's His whole point of it. See, it shouldn't be a bunch of thought to us about power working through us. See, one of the things that I found when I first got saved, and I didn't go to a church at the time. It isn't that I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to go to a church. But I would have picked the wrong church. See, you know, I can never understand these people that say, we're looking for a good church. 99.9% of Christians could never tell you what a good church is. They don't even know. They would go what looks in the natural and ask to Him and sees what's good. There's all kinds of churches that seem very nice. God would not allow me to go to church. Because, and I found out why. After I was born again for about 3 or 4 months, I started to realize because of being around Christians, their churches were killing them. The Spirit-filled churches were killing them, ruining their lives by what they taught. They were ruining their lives by their ways they believed. They were preaching all kind of stuff. You know, it's one of the things I found. Kenneth Hagin talked about this. He said, he was talking about a certain church that he went to. The pastor had a guy come in to teach in a church, and he brought a bunch of junk doctrine in. It wasn't biblical. And he said, it's amazing. He said he never lost any of the baby Christians in his church, but the older Christians followed off after this guy. See, what happens is this, and you got to watch for this, and all of us do as we're older as Christians. We think we're smart. We think we know. And we quit listening to the Holy Spirit. We quit paying attention on the inside. See, I learned that early. I learned that early, that leaders that I was around, Christian leaders that I was around, And they would turn around and get off into things. And inside of me, I'd think, you know, that ain't right. I wouldn't know why, but I'd know something ain't right. And it was missing. When I followed that on the inside of me, I was right every time. That the Holy Spirit was trying to show me that there was something wrong in the direction they were going. People that they were saying, oh, yeah, this guy's okay, or that guy's... It turned out they weren't. And I know why it happened. See, they go along and they got themselves a good ministry and a so-called good ministry and they go. See, I can understand the church at Laodicea. I can understand it says that, boy, they thought they're a really good church and people, they thought that was a really good church. This is really, looks great, has all of it going through it, and Jesus ain't in it, and people don't even know. It's easy to start measuring your life by your success. Your Christian life by your success. You can start taking God's success in your life and pinning it to you. And think, this happened because I'm really special. I'm good. I really got it. It's easy to do, folks. Anybody can fall to it. And if they don't believe they can, they already fell to it. If you don't think you can be caught in traps, you're already in a trap. If you think you can't be deceived, you're deceived. You gotta stay guard all the time. You can't let it alone. That's why I'm a stickler for going back to the Word and going back to the Word and looking at the Word and looking at the Word. Keeping myself over is like the fact I need as much training in the Word today as I did when I started. I haven't arrived and I never will. I'll never arrive. If Paul and Peter had to go back and remind people of things, there's a good chance Ed needs reminded. We do that. You never get to the place. And what happens is people do it. They don't see themselves as doing it, but they arrive at the spot where they don't need Jesus anymore. He's standing at the door knocking. That's what happened to Laodicea Church. He's standing at the door. They don't even know. They think they got a good church. They think they're good Christians doing a great job. And Jesus is standing at the door. They don't know. They think, yeah, we're okay. We're all right. We got this thing on. And he ain't even in their meetings. But they're going through their religious beliefs that we're all doing all right. So you got to keep yourself of your need for Christ. I don't need him any less. I need him more today. Because the more I've learned, the more I realize how much I need him. I didn't know. I used to think I really needed him a lot, but today I see how I'm needing much more than I thought. I look around the church world today and I see what's going on out here and I realize people have lost it. They come to a place, they look at what the world's all messed up out here and they think because the world's all messed up and they know a little bit more, like somehow I'm brilliant. No, they don't know how close they are to the world's ignorance. They don't realize. They'll be slipping into it. Deception will come. See, we need to keep ourselves always tuned in and on the top of this thing. Hallelujah. We're sitting in a place of authority. We need to be able to realize where we're seated. You know what? I can't see that throne. The only thing that I know about faith and that concerning that throne is what the Bible tells me about that place of authority where I'm seated. I can't see none of it. I can't feel none of it. You know, there's times the anointing comes on me and I you can say in a sense, I feel the power of God. I have felt the power of God already in my body, but that's so few and far between that ever happened. And if you're waiting for that to happen, to have your Christian life walk, this is one of the... I don't know, sometimes people think some of these ministers, and the way they talk, you'd think they're walking around all the time and they got the power that's on them all the time and they always got it. Good luck. They got to walk in faith like everybody else. 90% of the time, I have no feeling of nothing. When I wake up in the morning, I don't have no feeling of nothing. It's what my faith, I'm walking by an unseen God that I believe is there. I don't feel the Holy Ghost in me. I don't feel something inside of me that's real great, but I'm believing the Holy Spirit's in there. I believe He's teaching me and guiding me and leading me into the truth, and it don't seem like I'm learning a thing. But you ain't gonna ever learn nothing if you don't believe when you can't see or feel. If you're only gonna move, the devil will give you feelings. He'll give you a feeling. You want goosebumps, he can do it. If you want something in a feeling, but we can't be moved by feelings. See, I had to learn over time. I've had, I don't think it's a devil personally, but an evil spirit already quote scriptures to me. Telling me certain, using scriptures. But see, I have the responsibility of measuring that scripture and its usage. Of whether it's true or not. Or whether it's new. I got to be led by the Spirit. I got to listen on the inside. I have to measure that. So you can't be moved by feelings. Because you can't. There's one thing is I know this, the fact, because I was involved in sorcery. Evil spirits can give you feelings and they can do things. They show up and they can show up as an angel of light. They can seem like they're really nice and good. No angel of God ever showed up to be worshipped or followed after. Angels aren't to be followed after. If an angel shows up and does something, he speaks for God. And if he isn't giving you a revelation concerning God and his word, whatever God plans, forget it. If it's about the angel, you already missed it and followed the wrong thing and you're listening to the devil. Jesus Christ does not reveal himself. The Holy Spirit don't reveal Jesus other than to bring you revelation. Not to give you an experience. The revelation is what the experience is. See, I'm not moved by what I see. I want to know from a scriptural standpoint, what's the revelation that God brings? And I've learned over time what the revelation. The devil don't. He'll bring an experience. He's always going to bring sensationalism. Doing something sensational. What's the revelation? You see, you want revelation because, see, revelation is not for the, just for the moment. You can use revelation anytime. It'll stand and work anytime in your life. It's not just getting delivered this second. It's about something that will work for you for the rest of your life. If it's from God, it's in the Word, and God revealed it to you, you can take the faith of what was revealed of the Word to you and use it at any time in your life. That's why you want revelation. That's why Kenneth Hagin would never talk about the things that he saw in the Spirit. He never told people what Jesus looked like. People would ever ask him. He'd always say, it doesn't matter what he looked like. The only thing that's important is the revelation he gave. It's the only thing that's important. These people run around painting pictures of Jesus. Ain't nothing but demonic. It ain't nothing but demonic. It ain't nothing but demonic. It ain't important. There's no revelation in it. It's all about sight. Follow the picture. Faith in what we see. He's always a blue-eyed white boy. You know, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But people fall for it, just suckers for anything. It don't matter. Don't matter what he looked like. Doesn't matter at all. Your success in this life is revelation. Your authority depends on your revelation. Of that authority that you have. Your place and your position. Not what something looks like or somebody looks like or whatever else. It matters not. Your success. Faith relies on revelation. What is revealed. And that's what you want to go to. Hallelujah. Because you can stand. God, you know, as the scriptures, God's able to make you stand. If you'll stand in the Word, God can make you stand forever. You'll stand forever. He won't be moved. You could stand. No matter what comes along. No matter what happens. The Word of God will uphold you. We as believers, it's phenomenal. As a believer, we have the life of God. We have the resurrection power of God. We have the position of authority of God Himself. And Christians are praying for power. They're praying for this. They're praying for that. Well, when they do that, they don't realize they're speaking against the revelation the Bible says about us. Acting like we don't have it, we're trying to get it. We're trying to get this thing. You know? I'm trying to stand in faith to get God to heal me. No, faith is believing God did heal you. Trying to get God to heal you, there's no faith in that. It's unscriptural. It's unscriptural to believe you're trying to get God. That's why I've always had a problem with this, is people say, and they used to do this all the time. I remember back first got born, I'm believing God for this, or I'm believing God for that. If I'm believing for that, then I'm saying that God didn't give it to me. I'm believing for it. It isn't mine yet. I haven't got it yet. I didn't receive it. And I used to always think, well, that ain't the way it is. And yet ministers would be running around saying it. We're believing God for this. No. The Bible never tells you that. That's why stay with it. The Bible tells you to believe you receive. It doesn't tell you believe for. You'll find it no place in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture is it written. Yet most of the church says it. See, that destroys our authority. We have the authority to receive something, and what we're saying is we don't have the authority to get it yet. We're waiting for Him to give it. Oh, get it in. It'll make you happy. I'll never forget when I got the revelation that I was healed. My God. When that dawned on me, it's like everything changed. It's just like, my God. And I started seeing it in other areas. Jesus Christ, in one of His appearances, Kenneth Hagin told him, he said, faith works exactly the same in every area. It's not different from one to the next. Faith for healing and faith for money and faith, that doesn't change. It doesn't change from one to the next. It's all the same. Man, when I got that revelation, you believe you receive and you'll have. Believe you receive it and you'll have it. You ain't going to get it till you believe you receive it. See, if I'm believing for it, it ain't going to ever show up because I ain't believe I've received it yet. I'm still waiting for it. I'm believing for the manifestation. Nowhere in Scripture tells anybody to ever do such a thing. Yet, the church is full of it. God made it simple, and we have been the scribes. We have been the scribes who turned around, and now we sat down and wrote new laws in the Bible on how faith works. And we've added to the Scriptures. And we have taken the simplicity of the Word and turned it into all kinds of other things. It couldn't be that easy, could it? Well, sure, I mean, hey, does it? Look. We live in a world that this is. Intellectualism is very complicated. That's why we know there's no intellectualism. Being smart is this. Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin. If I ever spoke to somebody and it was complicated, he said it was a lie. It wasn't me talking to him. He said, I never said anything that was complicated. This is one thing as I found out about revelation in the Bible. When I would get revelation, I'd see the simplicity of it and thinking, how on earth did we ever miss that? That was so easy. Why? Because the church has been full of scribes writing new law all the time. Preaching new law. Preaching, well, Jesus said, you know, if you believe you receive it, you can have it. Yeah, but you can't. Now they'll put their new law on there. Then they'll add some other guy will come on and add another one to it. And add another one. And after a while, that one scripture became a book. And after a while, people can't believe it. They can't believe it's true. They struggle with what is so simple. And when the Holy Spirit will speak to that Christian of its simplicity. And you know what? They'll think it's the devil talking. Too simple. No, the wisdom of God is so out there. If the wisdom of God was for the so-called genius today, then the Bible would read that there's many wise I've chosen. You know why He doesn't choose the wise? Because they can't be chosen. They're trying to reason out. It doesn't matter. It's unseen. If God said it's true, you don't have to reason 2 seconds about it. You don't have to think too far. God said it, so it must be that way. I always did this. When Kenneth Hagin was 16 years old, got out of a deathbed, and I remember saying this when I listened to his thing. I said, God, if a 16-year-old can believe you and get up out of a bed and walk, it would be an absolute sinful shame for me that I couldn't walk in healing. It must be easy to do. A teenager did it. And you know what? It ain't ever changed. But in our intellectualism, it keeps us away from truth. We don't get to walk in this wonderful authority that we have. God has given us this glorious authority. What we are and what we've been given. Hallelujah. I mean, do we have the, you know, really, we have the power in us to bring it to pass. It's already in us. It's not something we're trying to get. So that's what we're trying to read out to you. The life of God's inside. The resurrection. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God is in me. Making me alive. It didn't say He's going to make me alive. It says He is. See, the reason people don't have life working in them is because they're not agreeing with the Spirit. They're talking about, well, you get older, you get tireder, and you get this, and you get this. And we're, and the doctor said, then they say, at last resort, I'm believing God. I always love it when they tack that on the end of 47 statements of unbelief. But I'm trusting the Lord. Get God's words first. You won't say all those other things. You won't be talking about other stuff. Get God's word first on the subject. Get it out there talking. Talk about what's working in you, who you are, what you are in Jesus Christ. We're living in a world, I mean, I'm just telling you this. You know, I often think about it when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin in 1950 and said, before things get to their worst, He said, the church is going to be taken. Folks, don't expect a whole lot better news on Fox. Don't expect to hear a bunch of greater, nicer things happening. That ain't going to make the news. Now, that doesn't mean God ain't going to do good things. But I'm going to tell you, we're running hand in hand with evil getting worse. And it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get prettier yet. The Antichrist comes to power because things are so ugly, the world is ready to follow. Whatever. Now, we as Christians, we ain't looking for the Antichrist. I get a kick out of these so-called prophets and people and things and sitting around and trying to tell you who the Antichrist is going to be and this and that. We ain't looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus. Anybody that's wasting their time looking for the Antichrist is following the devil. They're caught in wrong spirits. We're not looking for the Antichrist. That's not what we're looking for. They say, you know what? We're going to leave before He takes power. Then what are they looking for Him for? That's what I want to know. Why are you looking for the God? We don't even matter who He is. They don't even care. We're going to be with Jesus. I wonder sometimes who the group's going to be with Jesus. Because it sure seems they're trying to stay here. You know. God, it don't matter about the Antichrist. He can't come into power till the church is taken. Because as long as we're in the earth, we have the seat of authority. We have the seat of authority in the earth, not the world. The world has run things as cost the church will not take their place or seat. They're waiting for God to do something. Like Kenneth, I always got just from Kenneth Hagin. He used to say, they used to say, well, you know, the devil's going to take everything over. And he would always, the devil can't take everything over while I'm here. He can't take me over. And I got that truth. See, we're the seat of authority in the earth. We're God's seat of authority. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're here. The devil cannot take over unless you and I give it to him. And the church has given him 75% of the earth. He's been kind enough to give us a corner to live in. The whole time the church has had the authority, but the church hasn't taken its position. Because we're into something that happened, as Kenneth Hagin said, began. One of the things that began to change. When the move of the Spirit became especially, it started in the healing revivals, but the big change came when the teaching ministries came along and started teaching in the 60s and began to teach in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s of who the church was. That began to change everything. Kenneth Hagin talked about before that time, he said, most of the Christians, he said, they believed the Bible on the pages. As long as it stayed on the pages, they believed it. But see, they didn't believe it in action. They didn't believe it in reality and living. You know, they talked about faith. Faith was just believing, yeah, this is true. The book's true. Yeah, the book's right. But it, you can't, you don't live this thing. I didn't realize it till, you know, I came in and got involved in a church and started operating gifts of the Spirit church, and how people, Christians got offended to it. Christian people didn't like it. You know, you start, people were, you know, upset about these things. You start seeing these things going on. What happened? Keep it on the pages, buddy. Don't let it get off the pages. Oh, we believe in all this stuff, but don't you open no Red Seas. Don't you go be doing that stuff. No. We don't do none of them things. We believe it here. Now, then a lot of them believe, see, you know, Benny Hinn is allowed to do it. But see, you're not. See, God can has special people he uses. Well, I just don't tell you. I'm one of the special ones. I'm special. I can tell you, they have my name out years before I was here. It's called Special Ed. See, they... You didn't know what that was for. You thought it was something else, didn't you? No. We're special. See, you find out, when we turn around, we've made people, and we looked in front, we thought because we saw God use somebody, he used them just because he chose to use them. See, those kinds of things are in the mind of Christians on stuff. Wrong teaching. Wrong believing. Oh yeah, we can cast out devils. I never waited for ministry to deal with devils. I never waited for that. If I had to deal with the devil, I dealt with it. I was always astounded by ministries and Christians who wouldn't deal with the devil, would always try to get somebody else to come and deal with the devil. I had it numbers of times that people would come to me about dealing with the devil. I had ministers and ministries come and ask me to deal with spirit-filled people. And I used to think, well, if we could cast them out of them first, then we could cast them. They don't realize they're yielded to wrong spirits. Their believing yields to wrong spirit. They don't see that they have the authority. I got to get somebody else to do this. See, that's one of the things in the teaching of the areas of faith. The Lord would never allow me to have somebody lay hands on me for healing or anything like that. He'd never allow me to do it. And then he told me years later why he acted in, why he told me. He said, I wanted you to learn how to operate in the areas of faith so you could tell other people how to do it. See, everybody looks, we're going to call so-and-so. We got to call so-and-so. We got to get a hold of a prayer ministry to get this for us. We have to get a hold of somebody. We got to get somebody who has more authority than we got. We got to go get somebody. I never lacked for God moving for me as a young Christian. I grew up as a baby Christian doing what other people thought only, you know, some big name could do. God would tell me, you got to stand. You stand and you believe. You stand and believe the word. Well, see, I found out this step works. And thank God I had a good teacher in Kenneth Hagin and taught as if, you know, this was supposed, we were just supposed to believe God, that God would work for me as quick as he would work for others. I'll tell you this. I think it's a great disservice that ministries do many times in ministering to people. They should expect the person to do something. Because what happens, the people's faith keep lying in that ministry. And not in God. Well, God can use them, but me, you know. So, you know, if something happens, then when I can go and get a hold of them, when I can go and get a hold of them, I can get healed. If I can make it to Benny Hinn's meeting, then I can get healed. So I gotta travel around the country if I get sick and find out where he's at. And if I go there, folks, don't laugh. People do this all the time. There's some people, if they didn't have prayer ministries that they called to, that gives them some kind of, don't matter if they ever get answered. It doesn't matter. Just as long as I have somebody called to appeal that somebody else is praying, somebody's doing something. They don't see themselves as, you know what? God will respond to me as quickly as anybody. God's ears, you know, why? I got authority. I have authority in heaven. God's ears always turn toward me. Jesus said so. He said, in His name, I could ask anything the Father in His name, and that would do it. He didn't say I'd get somebody else to do it. He never said to someone. Now, I'm not against getting other people to do it, but the motive of why you do it can either put you over or you'll fail. You can't keep calling somebody else to take your place. You have authority. You got to come to the place where, hold it. I got as much authority with Dad as anybody got. My God will hear my voice as quickly as He'll hear. The Holy Ghost will respond to me when I lay hands on the sick. That's what the Lord told me to tell people. Whenever you lay hands on somebody, you tell them the power of God's there to heal. It's up to them whether they receive it or not. It's up to me. But the power of God is there to heal. But see, I tell you what, it won't be there to heal if you're a person waiting for it to come. I'm sorry. The church walks around and we have these things that are true said, but we don't believe them as true. God is everywhere. How many believe God's everywhere? Is God everywhere? Is He everywhere? We ought to ask the question. Is He everywhere? Well, then God's power has to be everywhere, or God is not everywhere. Does God go places and leave His power at home? Oh, sorry guys, I left it. I have to go back and get it. And when I get it, we're going to put it on the charger. And when I get it charged up, I'll be back. That's God. I mean, think about that. God is everywhere. And now on top of that, now just think, that's everybody in the world. There's no place that you ever are at in the world or that God is not there. His power to deliver, heal is right there wherever you are. See, you'll get the foolish, here's the foolish Christian, the foolish Christian. Well, I'll tell you what, this just atmosphere is not a good place to, you know, things just, you know. I'm sitting here in a restaurant and this is, and they're drinking over there. And this isn't a good place. God's power is everywhere. God can heal as quick in a bar. As he can, in fact, he probably could do it easier in a bar than he could in most churches. There'd be less unbelief. Religious unbelief is the worst unbelief there is. True ignorance, God will move over and do something. Stupidity in the church, devil loves it because it stops the power of God. See, God's power is everywhere. Whatever it is that you need from God, it's everywhere and all the time. Now think about this. Now that's to the world. Everybody out here. Now everybody's not conscious of it. Why? It isn't by feeling. You become conscious by faith. Wherever I go, I'm conscious God's with me. When I pray, God's always listening. God is always. I mean, that's the way the power of God is always present. It's always present. Now, we as Christians think about it this way. It's in us. To the world, it's all around them. To the Christian, it's in us. Oh my God. See, we've got to change the way we think about who we are, the authority. We've been waiting for God to do something, and we have been waiting. It has never been God. When we talk about waiting on the Lord, it's not the same thing that God thinks about as waiting. We're not waiting for God to do something. We spend time waiting on the Lord to maybe find out things that He wants us to do specifically. But there's things that are said in the Word we've been given authority to that we don't have to wait 2 seconds to find out if we can do it. We don't have to pray at all. I never have to fast to find out if I ought to cast a devil out. I don't ever have to fast to find out that if I ought to lay hands on the sick. If I can do that. If I'm allowed to do that. Well, it tells us in the Bible. It's all written there. See, there's things that are specific. He tells us in Scripture, it's we should be walking in. There's things maybe God specifically wants us to do. We can pray and ask Him what those things might be or something specific. Sometimes maybe He wants to send you to go do a certain thing. Or He wants to show you some certain thing to do or wants to give you a revelation about a certain thing or something. He may want to do that. But there's all kind of things. You don't have to pray 2 seconds. Most Christians waste their life praying for the insignificant. It don't matter. The Bible already said, do it. Trying to find out, well, Lord, I need a ministry. My God, you don't even need a ministry. I mean, you could minister day and night just on what God said to every Christian ought to do. Well, I want a special ministry. See, that's where I started. I was really, as a baby Christian, I just thought that everybody was doing this. I didn't know. Nobody told me they were supposed to. I didn't know. When people talk about me, they say, well, God uses you in the ministry. And I was thinking, I ain't in no ministry. You know, I know down the road God's going to put me. You know when I entered the ministry? I entered the ministry when I came back from Rhema. That's the first God spoke to me starting into the ministry. Before that time, I had ministered in churches. I had been done all kinds of things. I was, you know, in full gospel, the president of the chapter. I did all kinds of things I had done. All things of ministry, teaching and doing stuff. But the Lord spoke this, what he did, is at Rhema. It was in April of 1987, and he said to me, I was leaving classes right before graduation. I was leaving classes, and I was walking to another class. In fact, we were going down, Brother Hagin was going to be teaching in the main auditorium, and we were walking down there, and the Lord said, because you've been faithful to with the people I put you around, the ministries I put you around, now I'm going to put you into your own ministry. You're going to have your ministry. That's what he said, but he never said what it was. And I know why he didn't say it, because I wouldn't want to do it. I did fight him over it. I didn't want to pastor. But he said, I'm going to put you into your own ministry. You've been faithful. But see, you know what? Follows the word. Faithful with somebody else's, God will give you your own. That's why a lot of people, they put themselves in the ministry. They do all kinds. They've never been faithful with nothing. But God put me in the ministry. And so, I just encourage you guys, is number one, understand the authority. Meditate on the Word about what the Word says, what you have and what you are. Get it within yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Don't add to it. It's one of the things, stand against those things that have been taught over the years and said over the years. Concerning spiritual gifts, you know, well, you get real spiritual, then God will use you. Get over that. Get past that. My God, as a baby Christian, it's amazing. You know, as a baby Christian, only a few months old, I had the gift of faith operate through me a number of times. I had manifestations of the Spirit operate through me, do things. Well, it couldn't have been based on being a spiritual giant. My words, when I look back in those days and I think of myself, I think, dear God, you know, He gave a baby a loaded gun. Thank God I didn't turn it on myself. I didn't... But God use you, and He'll use you. Don't get into that kind of thinking. It's about, why would God put the resurrection power of God in you, the Holy Ghost, and He doesn't trust you to operate in a gift? Well, what's the purpose of that dude in you for? Think about it. What's His purpose? We don't need no resurrection if we ain't gonna do nothing. See, we need to be careful because I think a lot of things have been taken out of people. When they're a young Christian, especially, you know, don't throw water on young Christians that have big dreams. Just because their dream's bigger than yours, it probably is because they ain't got old enough yet to quit dreaming like you did. You know what I love being around Braden? Braden's a dreamer. And he thinks of outlandish, far-out things. And I love it. I think, my God, that was me as a Christian. And I had all the wet blankets around me telling, no, you're out there, you're... I'm going to tell you what, you better have an imagination or you'll never walk with God. If you're too conservative, which most conservatives are, you're not going far with God. Conservatives ain't dreamers. They can only see what is. They can go no further than the Constitution. I'm preaching good, folks. To being a dreamer, I'm going to tell you what, be a dreamer. How can you see yourself and what you are? Because I'll tell you what, if you can't dream, God's trying to speak things that'll seem outlandish to you, and He wants to speak because He wants to bring you to something. You know what? And if you're too conservative, I can't do that. That must be the devil. He's trying to get me to get out here and get into something. And don't realize it's God trying to take you far beyond you. If He can't get you beyond you, you'll never see the supernatural. You can measure yourself. If you don't have much supernatural going on in you, you can measure yourself about being a dreamer. Be able to see beyond where you are. Be able to see, I can see God doing miracles for me. I can see me. I can see me raising the dead. I can see me doing that. I can see me standing before world leaders. See, I believe God can do that stuff. We say God can cause you to do anything. Then you will have great dreams. Because how many of you have just done anything? How many have gone to some supernatural? Well, we haven't. And we sit here and we say, well, God's big and He can do it. He never does it without people. Somebody's got to have His dream of doing it. God's able to send me to a nation and turn it. See, if you can't dream like, if you can't see that He'd use you like that, it sure ain't because of ministry. It's because of Him. He could, I do, look what the scripture says. All things are possible to him that believe. We ought to have dreams. See, we don't have that. That's why when COVID came along, the church became gripers. They got focused on masks. We didn't have no dreams. Whatever the government did, that became the thing that became our focus. We didn't look at this as an opportunity. Hallelujah. Paul, we ain't going to focus on the mask. We're going to focus on the glory of God is working through us. It's what I have in me. It's what's inside of me. See, that's why I like, kids. Because kids get around and they dream. I love to see, because sometimes Wanda will show me pictures of the kids do draw at school and do. And I look at that, and it makes me laugh, makes me smile. I think, oh, man, what they see. And then you get to the conservative and, the perfect little son drawn and, the perfect stick figure kid. And it's just, everything has to be just, I love it. Brayden and I, we do the things of building Legos together. And I started when he had an interest when he's really little in doing that. I started buying the Lego stuff and we would build things and do stuff. And he would always, Brayden loved Lego guys, the men, the little ones. He loved them. But he never built them, never, ever built them like the design. Never. They were always extreme. He would take a guy and he'd be a warrior holding a fish in his hand. He was like that. He would just take it. He would take some guy, dressed in a tuxedo and put some kind of, military helmet on him. He would always do that. He always went outside the box. And I loved it because I would always say to him, because he would go different places and different stores and sell them. They'll have piles of them and you could go in and build your own little Lego men and then you could buy them, And every time I'd just say to him, hey, did you get any Lego guys? And he would show them to me and I would just laugh because they were always wild out weird things. Guys with strange heads and all kinds of, you just name it. It was weird. He always had them. Nothing was to the ordinary. And I thought, that's God. See, you can't think outside the ordinary. You'll never expand in faith. We got a big God who's a conservative. He can only work within these certain bounds. See, the Red Sea opened back then, but not today. It was a thing for then. It's not a thing for now. If you think about the children of Israel, how would we react today if those kind of miracles took place in front of us in the church? What would the church world do? I'm going to tell you what, I will guarantee you, the majority of the church world would turn against a leader, just like they did with Moses. He's getting too radical, getting too far out there. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're getting radical. We're going to go out there too far. We're going to stretch beyond. Let God give us imagination of the glory of a future. See, that's right. I often want to think the people that are real conservative and get to heaven and find out God is not conservative at all. He is so lavish. See, your faith in what God will do for you on earth can be tied to your conservatism of what God can do. Conservatives always get upset if somebody gets too what they consider too much. And that's always the design by the individual who thinks it. You know, I decide, I'm the guy who decides whether it's too much or not. I decide if you have enough. I'm the guy. I will measure, and you go beyond my thinking, and you're in trouble. I'm sorry, you have too many airplanes. You have no need of those. Because God can only afford a couple. You know, in heaven, he has gold streets. I mean, he paves with gold. I mean, if you think about it, gold in heaven has no impurity. Because it's called clear as glass. You know the term clear as glass, you know where that comes from? It was come from gold and smelting gold. They used to talk pure gold was called clear as glass. That's what they call it. Say it's clear as glass. In other words, there's no impurity in it. Completely clear. The gold streets in heaven, no impurity in them. So if you take the value of gold in heaven, and you'd have a street paved, you know, 6 inches or so, I don't know. Maybe he does it 2 feet. I don't know. He could drive rigs on them. Anyhow, he has about, what would they be worth? We don't know that there's any other kind of streets than that. And in the city, just not heaven, but the city. See, there's a difference between heaven and the city. The city ain't heaven. The city's a city in heaven. We have all this religious stuff and religious ideas that we get. And it's, what, 1,500 miles square, I think you said it is, something like that. How many roads do you think are in that thing? What would you think the value of the gold? I mean, we can't even, there wouldn't be a way to judge it. We don't make numbers that big. We don't have numbers that are known. And that's just the streets. I mean, sit down and just read the walls around that city. What would their value be? What would a gate the size of one of those gates, it's a pearl. I mean, what could you call it value? See, God's not nervous about stuff. Man's nervous. Conservatism is nervous. Don't go too far. Now, I can go as far as I want, but not you. You stay with a little bit, and I'll measure it, okay, to see if you're all right. No, how far can you go? See, it's not any kind of wild thing. It just comes down to a place to get ourselves to the place that we can think beyond these things and sit down and say, oh my God, you know, we've played around and toyed with things down here. And we toyed with things that weren't significant or important. The things, the many things that we measured of great importance, the things of heaven that we have stifled the most is the glory. We fought about the stuff. We've tried to make rules about the stuff. Let's sit down. What about the glory? There's nothing more wonderful. God's glory revealed in this earth to people. If anything God wants to do, we need to lose our conservatism over this stuff and become, oh, it's going to be hard to hear it, liberal concerning glory. Liberal. God liberally wants to pour it out. He wants to do it without measure. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I mean, I could go on. I'll tell you, I could almost pack up and go to heaven today. It's like, you get over here looking at those things and it's like, my God, they're so good, they're wonderful. It's like, hallelujah, what God has done for us. Father, I just want to thank you. You're absolutely phenomenal. Father, I'm excited. I'm excited, Lord God. Lord, these things are so much of a pleasure to speak and to say. They're most much of a pleasure to hear. Lord God, your love for your people and what you've done into the earth. We in this side, we realize in our finite bodies many times inhibit us in many ways. But Lord God, our hearts don't. But Lord God, many times we let our finite bodies get in the way of the dreams of our spirit. And Lord God, I pray for each one here today that you open up their hearts to dream big and to see big and to understand big, Lord God. To grab a hold of, Lord God, what they really are inside and what is in them. Hallelujah. The place that you've given them to of authority here on the earth to walk in. The glory. Oh, Lord, it is so wonderful. It is so wonderful to think about. Father God. Father, when I just right now think of them, just this small group of people right now here. What glory there's in these people. What you have put, Lord God, what you have handed them, Lord, that each one of them sits in the seat of authority with Jesus Christ. My. That Jesus himself, when he said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Lord God, what authority. Lord, those thoughts, Lord, we need to be able to see them beyond what we have seen them. We thank you for the revelation we have. But Lord God, I believe that revelation is little compared to the glory that you desire to reveal to us. Oh Lord God, that we see them. We see them in a measure beyond. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, I just thank you today. I thank you, Lord. Lord, to me it has been a great honor to be able to speak these words from the Scripture, to be able to teach these things. Lord, they're so wonderful. And Lord God, the glory of them is so much greater than the glory of the flesh. Without the Spirit, one could not understand. It's only understood by the Spirit. It's only stood by our own human spirit. Lord God, there's not vision in the flesh to see beyond certain things. But Lord God, our spirits are not limited by space nor time. Our spirits are unlimited. Lord God, there's vision. There's vision that we can go to. That is beyond, Lord God, that is eternal. That is no, Lord God, it's not limited by the natural world and what the natural world can see and understand. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will give them this dream. You will put with them in vision to see and understand. Lord God, and Lord, I know it is. It's simple. The revelation of these things will be simple and simply understood. Lord God, Lord, I see them as a people rising up. I see them as a people standing, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, not by the measure of men. Lord God, as you spoke to Samuel and said, I don't choose by outward appearance, but I choose by the heart. Hallelujah. And Lord God, here's a people. Their heart's yours. They're born of your spirit. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're yours. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you've taken them out of darkness. You've brought them into your marvelous light, and you're going to do marvelous things through them. You're going to do glorious things. Lord God, these last days they will see and understand and comprehend. Lord God, in measures, Lord God, that the human mind would go tilt. Oh, the human mind would say, there's a limit on that. But Lord God, their hearts will reach out beyond and they will do and walk in places of the Spirit. And they will bring deliverance to humanity, hallelujah, on a level that has not been walked on before and men haven't known. Lord, in these days, Lord, heaven and earth shall touch before the church leave. Heaven and earth shall touch and there will be days of heaven in the earth. That men will walk in the glory of the future in these last days. Of the futures of the glory of the heavens, hallelujah. Of the new age to come, the new church age to come, hallelujah. Not the age that the world thinks as a new age, but the new age, hallelujah, as given by the Spirit to the church. Hallelujah. In an age of the glory of God, that men will look and see beyond limits. Hallelujah. That there will be no limits to them. They will only see the glory of God. Hallelujah. And God's plan and God's purpose, which has no measure. Hallelujah. So I thank you today. As we leave this place today, Father, we leave, hallelujah, rejoicing and glad. Lord God, we leave, Lord God, hooked up in our spirits, hallelujah, knowing, Father God, what you've put in us and what you're going to do through us and your plans and your purposes, hallelujah. Father, truly our future is bright. Truly it is glorious. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.